Madam Chair, members, I brought Christina Pera with me, who's going to walk through it along with me. In general terms, the R16-2 changes fall into two broad categories. A lot of the changes are clarifying changes, making particularly the scope and purpose of the policy more clear and a bit more broad. In particular, there's more clarity about how reporting of discrimination and harassment happens, and as well as how that reporting is transmitted to the House Office of Human Resources and the House Counsel. There are also a handful of more substantive changes, most notably within the section on the House's responsibilities under the policy and with regards to how complaints of harassment and discrimination are investigated. And I'm going to hand it over to Ms. Pera, who's going to go through kind of the more line-by-line changes.
Good morning. Welcome to the committee. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. So the changes in the introduction, it'll start out with a clearer and more affirmative statement of the goals of the policy. And the introduction also tries to highlight the scope of the policy. There is a separate scope section that you'll see, for example, on lines 18 to 22 of page 1. It states that the policy applies to discrimination, harassment by and against members and employees in the course of their legislative work. It talks more about who is covered and where. And, for example, in the bullets, you'll see that it says the House, some changes are changing from the passive to the active voice. So, for example, saying that the House encourages members, employees, and others to report behavior they believe to be discrimination and harassment. On the next page, on page 2, the scope section, that first change you'll see there on line 213 is deleting the section that stated that the policy is not intended to provide greater protection than the law. It then goes on to reiterate the scope of the policy and specifically highlights that the House will investigate reports of harassment or discrimination by third parties against House employees or members and will act within its power on the results of those investigations. And that's the paragraph that starts on line 22. On page 3, you'll see on line 22, I'm sorry, first on line 3, the definition of employee is modified to include interns and pages. And then on line 22, the addition of familial status, which reflects which tracks a change under the Minnesota Human Rights Act. On the following page, there's one instance on page 4 and then on page 5, changing the font status to all be normal type, so it's not no caps or bolded phrases anymore. And then on page 5, below on line 12, it'll say it's below the definition of sexual harassment. The policy now notes that the conduct does not need to meet the severe or pervasive standard to be prohibited under the policy. On page 6, under the heading of retaliation, now that's the new heading. Most of the content that you'll see under that heading is the same as what was in the policy before, but it's moved from the back of the policy now further up. It's modified a little bit to make clear that the policy applies not only to people who report, to persons who report harassment or discrimination, but also, and you'll see that in the bullets, anybody who opposes discrimination or harassment, participates in an investigation, testifies in any proceeding relating to discrimination, harassment, or retaliation complaint, or associates with a person or group of persons who are disabled or different race, color, creed, religion, sexual orientation, or national origin. The bottom of page 6, there's a heading there of the House's responsibilities, and on page 7 is where you'll see the changes. The policy requires House of Representatives to make the policy readily accessible to members of the public and to post it, and as well as the list of supervisors and members to whom reports should be made, and specifically expands training requirements to non-supervisory staff and members. And that's on line 7. Under the supervisory responsibilities, it requires supervisors to engage in productive conversations about the policy and related processes. On page 8, under concern report or complaint, you'll see on line 10 that that heading was modified from being just a complaint to include concerns and reports. And that reflects the changes in the text below to have a broader view of what may constitute a violation of the policy and encourage reporting and sharing of those reports with human resources. So, for example, on line 27, it says that if a supervisor has any doubt about whether they received a report of harassment or discrimination, they can always contact Human Resources or House Employment Law Council to talk through the issue. On page 9, under investigation of the complaint, as Mr. Weeks was saying, this is some of the more substantive changes. And on line 22, it says the Director of Human Resources may hire investigators to investigate a potential violation of the policy in consultation with House Counsel. And that when there is an outside investigation, House Counsel will, where appropriate, prepare a memorandum with recommendations about policy and practice. And then on line 27, the results of the investigation involving a policy violation against a member must be reported to both the Speaker and the Minority Leader, while requirements of discretion and confidentiality continue to apply. On page 10, on line 4, clarifies that ongoing issues can be brought to the attention of any supervisor, the Speaker, Majority Leader, Minority Leader, HR Director, or Employment Law Council. And then lines 9 and 10 deletes language that previously said that other options may be used instead of the procedures under the policy to encourage reporting. Madam Chair, those are all the changes to the policy, unless you have any questions.
Senator Freiberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a question for, I don't know if this is better for you or for House Counsel. These are changes to the policy against discrimination and harassment, so I assume that's an internal policy to the House of Representatives. On line 5.11, you know, the three lines immediately starting there, it's a change to the Minnesota statutes, and I think that's a good change. I don't quite understand how they go together. You know, I understand we're updating our internal policies, but then if we were to adopt this, I mean, this isn't, it's not a bill. I guess I just don't understand quite how changes to state statutes fit in with our internal policy.
Thank you. I'll turn that over to Mr. Weeks.
Madam Chair, Representative Freiberg. So what that actually is on 5.12, if you'll see starting on page 4.27, it's actually the definition from the Minnesota Human Rights Act of sexual harassment is just in our policy as a way of helping to define what it is under the law. And that there on 5.11 is just meant to be the citation to the Minnesota Human Rights Act. And then the change on 5.12 and 5.13 is just to make clear, for the purposes of the policy itself, that conduct need not be severe or pervasive or meet that court standard for hostile work environment in order to constitute a violation under the policy. So it's meant to make clear that that standard that applies under the Minnesota Human Rights Act, that higher standard doesn't apply under the policy, but not necessarily it's not in itself a change in the law.
Representative Freiberg.
Okay, so just to be clear, if we wanted to change that portion of the law, there would need to be a separate bill.
Correct.
Thank you.
And Representative Freiberg, and there will be one introduced today.
I've heard about
that. That's
just that. Yes, I've heard about that. Thank you.
Are there any other questions about this policy? Representative Schultz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think we advised to, on line 3.25, to include gender identity as well as sexual orientation. 3.25, page 3, 3.25.
Mr. Weeks.
Madam Chair, Representative Schultz, you know, it's a fair point. Under the Minnesota Human Rights Act, gender identity is included within the definition of sexual orientation, but it could be included expressly in there as well.
Representative Schultz.
Madam Chair, I'm wondering on page 7, line 7.27 to 28, if we should be more specific and say participate in mandatory training, and then for new members at orientation and for current members annually or every 2 years, or do we want language like that?
Representative Schultz, after we're done with this one, we're going to get into the other one where we're suggesting that our staff come up with a proposal for training over during the interim, and we'll get into more of that later. But so the point is to not necessarily prescribe that part today, but to have them come back and look at what others, outside groups are doing, and come back with a recommendation for us. So I'm a little putting the cart in front of the horse a little bit, but we'll talk about that more in the other thing we're doing today. Are there any other questions? Okay. Process-wise, so after we vote on this today, if it passes, it will go in front of the Rules Committee on Wednesday. So seeing no further discussion, I'll renew my motion that R16-2 be adopted. All those in favor? Oh, Representative Portman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Is the subcommittee able to move things? My understanding under the House rules is that we don't have the authority to take action.
Representative Portman, this will have to go to the full Rules Committee, and that committee will have to take action. This is just getting it to the Rules Committee.
I understand that, Representative Pepin, but I think that we don't even have the ability to do that. I'm not sure under the House rules if that's the case or not.
Oh, well, I can bring Mr. McCormick up to answer that question.
Madam Chair, members, what you'd be adopting here would be a report of the subcommittee. And the report then would arrive on the desk of the Rules Committee as a report of the subcommittee, which then the Rules Committee would adopt and make its own policy. So basically, think of this as a recommendation of this subcommittee to the Rules Committee. And therefore, after you're done today, this will not be in effect for the House. That would happen on Wednesday.
Okay. Thank you for the clarifying information.
All right. Any other questions or discussion? Okay, seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion prevails, and our 16-2 is adopted. Next, we'll move on to the R17 resolution. I will move that the R17 resolution be adopted. And Mr. Weeks or Ms. Pera, could you speak to the R17?
Madam Chair, members, Ben Weeks, House Research. I'll just walk quickly through the R17 resolution. The first thing that the resolution would do is to create a working group comprising the same members as this subcommittee, which could survive adjournment sine die, that could oversee the projects laid out in the resolution. So the first project, and all of these would be due on December 1st of 2018, the first project would be to develop, administer, and report a community survey about harassment and discrimination at the House of Representatives. And then also there would be a dedicated phone and email reporting system set up and monitored by House staff, and that would be something akin to a hotline. Third project would be the publication of a dedicated web page for harassment and discrimination issues, and the idea is that would have the policy readily available, as well as the list of supervisors to whom reports could be made. Also, it would have the phone number and email for the dedicated phone line reporting, and it would be, you know, an easily findable and clickable link from the House's webpage. Training, the House staff would work with the task force to come up with a training schedule for all House members and staff, when the trainings would occur, who gets what type of training, and the resolution specifically requires that they include trainings on unconscious bias, respect in the workplace, as well as harassment discrimination training that's focused on bystander action, bystander intervention. And then finally, the task force will review, if adopted, the changes to the House policy against discrimination and harassment just to assure that they're working well and if there are any tweaks or changes that the task force thinks are required to make those, or rather recommend those to the 2019 House.
Thank you. Members, any questions or discussion? Representative Portman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a request for as much advance notice as possible, maybe even working with the minority and all the members on scheduling, since in the off season we don't have predictable schedules, and I think people will want to be present for the meetings.
Absolutely, Representative Portman, and I don't perceive that we'll need to have a lot of meetings, but we definitely will have to have at least one to deal with what we've asked them to come back with by December 1st, so that we'll be all set next session with the training schedule and whatnot. So that we'll be sure to work with you to make sure that we have any, plenty of advance notice. Any other discussion or questions? Okay, seeing no further discussion, I'll renew my motion that the R17 resolution on workplace safety and respect be adopted. All those, Representative Hortman?
Same question. This is just a recommendation to the Rules Committee. We can't actually adopt it. So the motion is to, for the subcommittee to recommend to the Rules Committee that we adopt the R17.
I guess technically that's correct. Yes. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, nay. Okay, the resolution is approved. Members, it's my intent to make this the last meeting of the subcommittee, but I want to thank all of those who've been involved, all the employment law attorneys that have been here, the experts on the area, and especially and the testifiers, but especially to our staff who have worked on it, including Ben Weeks, Christina Pera, Mary Mullen, Pat McCormick, and Kelly Knight. They've put hours and hours and hours, as well as my staff, Megan Rice and Kelly Hansen and Janelle Dolka. They put in tons of hours, so I want to thank them for all that. And so with that, my intention is to be done, I think, for the session, and then, of course, this will adjourn sine die, and then the task force will take effect, and we're all members of the task force. So any other questions or business? All right, thank you. Meeting is adjourned.